As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Hello, Athletic NBA Show listeners. I'm Dave DeFore. I wanted to share some exciting news with you. Starting this week, the NBA Daily Ding is moving permanently to The Athletic NBA Show feed. That's right. Monday through Friday, you're going to be able to catch up on all of the previous night's action in the time it takes to make coffee. Fancy coffee. So join me, Andrew Schleck, Trevon Edwards, Keith Parrish, Jared Weiss, our special guests, and your favorite Athletic beat writers as we break down the previous night's action and all of the news from the day before. Your friends are going to think you're a basketball genius. Be sure to tell them why, though. Make sure you check us out Monday through Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for the NBA Daily Ding.
It's a little like Goodwill Hunting. Every day, you know, we expect him to come in and
Carlisle matters.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite Athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Podcast, Basket Buds Edition on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Jake King. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Trevon Edwards. And we got the first week of the regular season done. We got it in. We got everything. We've got so much excitement and so much disappointment. And these rookies are good and these rookies are bad. And these players are good and these players are bad. And Ben Simmons still hasn't seen the court or anything. But before we get into all that, because we're going to get into some reactions, some observations we've had from the first week. We're going to get into the whole Ben Simmons thing. We're going to get into Klay Thompson being trolled mercilessly by his teammates, which is great. But first, there is potentially a massive, massive Robert Sarver scandal story that is going to be published on ESPN. And so the weird thing about this, guys, is we don't know what the story is yet. It alleges, what was the wording from Jordan Schultz? Jordan Schultz basically said, according to wait a second, let me find that. Breaking news, the NBA is preparing a massive story surrounding Suns owner Robert Sarver of racism, sexism, and sexual harassment in a series of incidents, sources say. With enough evidence to support such claims, there's a real chance the league would forcibly remove Sarver. Now, what's important about this is Jordan Schultz is like a gambling contributor, gambling stuff contributor to ESPN. So he does like sort of do stuff for ESPN, right? He's got a podcast that's pretty popular, and you know, he's obviously the son of Howard Schultz, who was the founder and CEO of Starbucks and once owned the Seattle Supersonics and everything. So like he's connected, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So also like don't ever pay for dinner, you know, if you're out with George Jones. Kids got it, man. But so like this is like he's connected. Like he has connections, obviously working for ESPN. He's gonna have understanding and knowledge of what's going on there. But it's weird that he would throw out there because it's not his report. He's just aware of a report coming.
Right.
And so
I've never seen someone report about a coming report before.
Me neither. Like, Jay, me neither. Wait, real quick.
Let's just turn the game on its head.
I do like the idea of this becoming a business. Reporting on reports. Like, I'm in on this idea. But here's the thing is, so with this, he's not reporting it. He's just like, hey, something's coming out. And so one odd thing, and I think everyone here knows of this stuff, like, there are times that reports die before they go to publishing because of if it's the content that he's saying here, this is like it has to be airtight for ESPN to run. Like airtight. And if there's any hesitation that it is, you know, that they can back every single bit of this reporting, they'll either take stuff out or sometimes that stuff just dies. Right. So Jordan Schultz throws this out there and the strange thing is the Phoenix Suns respond before the report and they're going to be aware. Like, it's not like they're going to get surprised by this report to like peel back the curtain on how all this stuff works. ESPN has hit them up at this point about comments on these stories and these allegations and everything. They're aware what's going to be reported. I would assume they're aware of 100% of what's going to be reported in this thing, unless new stuff has come to light. But they're aware of this. And so the response from the Suns is we get the team saying, we understand that an outlet is considering publishing a proposed story that makes completely baseless claims against the Suns organization concerning a variety of topics. Documentary evidence in our possessions and eyewitness accounts directly contradict the reporter's accusations. We are preparing our response to his questions. We urge everyone not to rush to judgment here, especially based on lies, innuendo, and a false narrative to attack our organization and its leadership. But that's not all, guys. Robert Sarver gives out a statement and says, quote, I am wholly shocked by some of the allegations purported by ESPN about me personally or about the Phoenix Suns and Mercury organizations. While I can't begin to know how to respond to some of the vague suggestions made by mostly anonymous voices, I can certainly tell you some of the claims I find completely repugnant and completely repugnant to my nature and to the character of the Suns Mercury workplace, and I can tell you they never ever happened. First and foremost, I reject any insinuation of personal or organizational racism or gender discrimination. I despise language that disrespects any individuals, regardless of race, gender, preference, or choice. Such language has no place in business or at home in what I consider Suns and Mercury families. I am proud of our record of diversity and inclusion on both teams, whether on the court or in the front office. I don't begin to know how to prove that something didn't happen, and it is difficult to erase or forget ugly accusations once they are made. Even hints of racism or sexism in our culture today are toxic and damaging and should not be lightly raised. I categorically deny any and all suggestions that I use disparaging language related to race or gender. I would like to think that my actions and public record regarding race, gender, or discrimination of any kind over a lifetime in business and community service will adequately answer any questions anyone might raise about my commitment to equality and fairness. Jay, what the hell? Like, this is
so mind-blowing.
Weird.
Nobody knows what the actual story is. We just know what has been reported about the report. And to respond to that, and you have to kind of be vague because obviously nobody knows what the actual specifics are. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. I'm intrigued by what's to come. Like, does this story get published? Does it never see the light of day? Like, why is it not out there already if people are talking about it? And the Suns owner apparently knows what's in it and who's writing it because they took shots at whoever wrote it. So I am very curious, yeah, very curious to see what's in there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Mo, like, you've worked in an organization that had a racist owner that got ousted, right? Like, you've got some expertise here. Like, how do you
Mo's the perfect person now on this podcast.
Mo's the right guy to have today. How do you find this story, right? Like with Jordan Schultz saying, hey, a story's coming out about this, then and it could lead to the removal. And then on top of that, like this fact that the Suns have responded before we even know what's out there, like it's just truly weird.
Oh, it's truly weird, but it's also a case of like PR spin right away, right? Like, let's get ahead of the story. This is what the Suns are doing. We're going to get the statements out, things like that. We're going to get ahead of this. We're going to make sure everybody, you know, right away knows we don't buy any of this. And, you know,
yeah.
And all that. But this whole thing is just absolutely nuts, because all they really did with the statement, more than anything, is just make sure more people read this article.
Right. Yeah. That's a right? great point.
they just highlighted, hey, you know, and somebody says,
this is
going to
be very
this.
Interesting. Like, please read this.
Yeah. Please read it, because it's all lies. Waited. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, now everybody's going to be very curious to see what's in there and everything that goes with it. My experience with the Clippers obviously was a little bit different, because we did not have any sort of, at least heads up, it came out and then we had to respond and things like that. Right. This is the Suns trying to be proactive in everything they're doing. And I'm going to be just fascinated how this whole thing plays out, because it might be the new case study. This might be how teams try to counteract this. If this works out for the Suns and for Sarver in a way in which other teams might look at it going like, this is how we're going to do it from now on. This is the playbook.
Why is Chris Paul always on the team when the owner gets trapped in something like
question. That? That's a great question. That is something that hopefully Jordan Schultz will uncover, or ESPN and their investigative staff will uncover why there is this tie to Chris Paul. But Trey, like, so I was talking about this with a couple of people over the weekend, and they were of the mind that they can't imagine that Sarver will be forced to sell. That maybe there's a suspension coming, he's not allowed to be around the team for a year or two or something like that. They'll get the maximum fine penalty, whatever that is. I think it's like $5 million, something like that. But they were like, I don't think this is going to go like Sterling's way. But again, that's without knowing what's in this report. Like, what do you expect to happen if some of these accusations, or all the accusations, are accurate? Like, do you think we're now going to be in a standard where it's just like, all right, force them to sell, get them out of here, we'll get someone new in?
Well, I don't want to get nobody in trouble, but I will say a lot of it's not false, man. It's a lot of stuff that's going to come out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the NBA stepping in and kind of handling things, I don't think he loses a team. I don't think that something really big happens. But it's very telling, you know what I mean, on what's been going on in that organization for a while. I think I personally enjoyed being around the organization. It showed me nothing but love. But as far as, I've never heard any nice things about Mr. Sarver, as long as I've been around that organization. So outside of, you know, actually doing a new arena, and well, kind of not even a new arena.
Yeah, just refurbish.
Like,
yeah.
Refurbishing and like making it a little bit better. I mean, he's never been seen as like a great guy. So I'm not like shocked about this behavior, but it's just interesting that all this comes out around the time when DeAndre Ayton wasn't extended. So,
yeah, that's a great point, Trey, because it is like,
oh, I like that conspiracy.
No, but it, like, I mean, shit, I don't know. Like, it takes a while to have these reports put together, but there is part of it where it was like, a few days ago, we were just like, oh, that Robert Sarver, what a cheapskate. And now it's going to be like, Robert Sarver, racist, sexist, harasser. Like, those will be the questions now, instead of just cheapskate in the... And that's the thing, too. Like, depending on if the... Like, let's say the report never even comes to light, right? Let's just say that ESPN's like, you know what? We don't feel comfortable running this. We thought we had it. It's not, like, airtight enough for us to avoid legal issues or whatever. People are still going to believe that stuff about Sarver. Like that's even if we don't get to read about it, like there's a big like there are people that still believe the Kawhi Leonard Apple Time story, right? Like, just because we see something on the internet now, like there is something that is attached to Sarver regardless. Even if he can exonerate himself, there's still going to be people that would be like, you know, like, nah, yeah, he did that, right? Like, without knowledge of the situation, just assumption. Like, that stuff sticks on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. that stuff stays with you, and you know, it's something that is what I find interesting when we talk about what the NBA might do. When you look at it, they did the thing with Sterling, but then when you look more recently and they had the whole situation with the Dallas Mavericks, I felt like they gave the Mavs and Mark Cuban a slap on the wrist. So I don't know. I mean, we're going into this blind here a little bit, not knowing what's in there, but it's as long as it's not to the point where the players are full on going, like, I'm not going to play for that man. I don't know if there's going to be much for there's going to be much the NBA can do.
That's a really good point, because that was a big part of the Clippers story, right? Where all this stuff comes out with the recording. And then it wasn't just like, this dude sucks. We knew Sterling sucked, right? We knew he was a reprehensible person. Yeah, we knew he was a slumlord. We knew he was a racist. Like, we knew all this stuff about him. But then it was like the players finally, and it's not like the players weren't aware of this. Like, he was super creepy in the locker rooms, right? Like, it was, it now became like the players were like, we're not going to play a fucking playoff game because this is out and all this stuff. Like, I don't see the Suns going that route, but again, I don't know what's in there and I don't know how they're going to react.
We're all just waiting for ESPN to drop
the story, and we're going to move on because I don't want to get sued.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, the top 75 at 75, which is actually a top 76 at 75 list, because just what a clunky, horrible rollout the NBA did with this thing. I mean, I love the concept, right? Like, I love the top 50 at 50. I'm in on the top 75 at 75. It creates like some actual fun conversations to me, and I usually hate these things, but it creates a lot of fun stuff to me. Because I also like shitting on like the early years of the NBA. So it even gives me more opportunity to do that. Bob Cousy, fraud. But we have a top 76. They did 25, 25, and then, you know, 26. Like, just this weird rollout, because there was a tie. Make those guys play for the tie. That's what I would say. Like, make those guys play.
Do you think there was actually a tie, or did they just include one extra person and then later realized it and said there was a tie?
Oh, they screwed it up? Like, yeah, they just missed 76 out there. Oh, man. Yeah, I guess there's a tie.
Because how do you have a tie on a top 75 list? Like, you just can't. You have to decide the tie somehow.
Yeah, someone's got to decide
it, right? You cannot have
76
people on a top 75 list.
I'd even be fine with them going, you know what? Rings is the tiebreaker. Like, I'd be fine with that, right? But Dwight Howard doesn't make, which I thought was fucking ridiculous. Tracy McGrady doesn't make it. Klay Thompson doesn't make it. Those seem to be the three highest debated players who didn't make the top 76 at 75 list. And so one fun thing is, like, the Warriors have been trolling Klay Thompson. Like, he keeps like throwing out Instagram stories like, I can't believe this, I'm so mad. No, I guess winning doesn't matter and all this stuff. And then they got him a 77 jersey and he wore it around the facility and everything. And like, that's a great part of it. But yeah, man, like, there were some curious selections on there. And the thing that people would say is like, well, if you're going to put somebody on, you got to take somebody off. Okay, I'm good with that. Walton should be gone. I don't think Dwight should. I don't think Anthony Davis should have made it over Dwight. That's crazy to me.
Like, and then they fight two days later.
Yeah, and then
I'm fighting on two people. Everybody else was good for me.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard and Anthony Davis, just because they just haven't been around. I'm not saying that they won't be a part of the greatest conversation,
right?
but they should have been rolled out the next 25 years, the top 100, when they've actually, you know, put in a little bit more work. And
yeah, again, it felt like it was projecting, right? And they did that. Yeah. To be fair, they did that with Shaq at the top 50 at 50. Like, they put him in 4 years into his career, which is a crazy idea in and of itself. But like, Shaq was that dude, and
it was like a once in a lifetime type player.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to say that for like, listen, do I think Anthony Davis is like not good? No, he's an all-star. He's been playing for 9 seasons, but take him off the Lakers. That career doesn't hold up for him to be the greatest.
Agreed. Yes. Like he kind of got Damian Lillard because of that title. Right.
I like Damian Lillard, Zach, but at the end of the day, he hasn't made anybody better. He has individual stats to show for it. And he's only been to the Western Conference Finals. I feel like when you think of greatest and you think of those people that belong, they were dominant at one point in period of their career. They also had a chance to be an MVP. They've also had, like, because I don't look at All-Star sometimes is a popularity contest. I feel like you get in once.
Yeah, All-NBA is such a better measurement.
It's such a different soundboard. And again, no diss on Dame. I think Dame should have made it in the top, you know, the next 25 years to get in as the next 25. You know what I'm saying? But this soon, I'm not really agreeing with that. I think that Dennis Rodman and Dominique Wilkins should have been in the first go around.
Yeah, for sure. But
so again, when trying to add these people, they made it more present than what it should have been. You know what I mean? Well, like, if you don't do it, keep them old motherfuckers in there.
Right. Especially like, well, one, I had a huge problem that the 50 at 50 all made it in when they weren't guaranteed to get in.
Yeah.
I had a huge problem with that.
Dave DeBuscher should not be on that list.
But like, look, Bill Walton is one of the greatest basketball players we've seen, like, had an incredible basketball career, but he barely played in the NBA due to injuries. Like, I'm cool with him, but his peak was
next level. Like, when he was at the top of his game, MVP, leading a championship team, all that.
One year, though, that
matters a lot to me if you get to that level. Whereas some other guys that are like just borderline all-stars for a while, like, why is that guy in there?
Right.
I mean, you like the one hit song. You don't care about a good album or a catalog or anything like that.
He's just rocking like, a Call Me Maybe.
I just think.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's what he's doing. Like, you're not really kind of. No. It was 1 year. Since then, he was hurt, banged up, went to the Clippers, never really did anything, went to Boston, and there, under limited minutes on a super stack team, was able to kind of rebuild himself and rehab himself into a solid player for that Celtics team. That's not enough for top 75 of all time. Yeah. Everything Trey said was correct on Davis and Damian Lillard, but a lot of these old dudes, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, come on. And Zach has probably infiltrated my brain, but Cousy.
Hey, man. Look, really? Look, 10-17 in the playoffs before Bill Russell got there, no titles.
Listen, all right. Hear me out. I feel like that 8-team league doesn't belong. I feel like... Anything post ABA should count.
Yes. Now the merger should be the cutoff. Like, we like, look, Trey, real quick, a perfect example of what you're talking about. In the NFL, right? We start everything at the Super Bowl era.
Bob Cousy was 10-time first team.
Okay, cool. So he's because of Bill Russell.
There was 12 players in the league.
10-time first team.
Jay, I know you represent the Celtics, but honestly, who tagged us in that video, Zach? It was like, I think it was like 8 players or somebody, right? And they said everyone in this video is in the top 75. If Zach is the very first person to make a shot in the NBA, right?
No, man.
And he happens to play for the Celtics and he wins 4 straight because they showed up with the best 5 at Open Gym. Right,
because the greatest winner in sports history shows up at one point. Like, come on, man.
Like, what are we doing? Like,
he was first team many times before Russell got there.
Yeah, because it was a regular season award.
But I'm not taking it away from him.
I am.
It's just like someone also mentioned that.
I just don't know why you guys are going at Cousy, not like Dave DeBuscher, who was second team one time.
No. He can get out too.
Him out.
Jay, I said everybody, bro. I said everybody.
Yeah, all of them.
Everybody. All of them, dog. Because even, look, I love Bill Russell, And I think Bill Russell would have translated in any of these eras. But at the end of the day, to brag about 11 rings in an 18 season, it's hard, bro. Like, they're not even traveling far. They're not doing none of this other stuff, at least pre-NBA, right? I mean, well, the early years of NBA, you think about the travel. I mean, what was it, 27 or 20-some teams before Vancouver and Toronto came about? And Orlando and Miami came about. Before those teams were even added, you have to think about what, like, basically what the NBA was and what you had to go through. So I can't really count those. Like, I understand, I respect them for, like, starting, getting the game started. You know what I mean? Like, inspiring others to play the game. But to honestly compare their statistics or their style of play to a more athletic, more, driven game, it's hard. It's subjective because I don't think a lot of those players last. I think, shit, if we get Elfrid Payton in the 50s, he going to be NBA 75.
Dude, if you put Shaq in the 50s, he wouldn't be allowed to play because they would have tried him as a witch or treated him like he was Godzilla. Like, they would have, like, tanks would have come after him.
There weren't basketball stanchions built strong enough at that point to withstand Shaq.
Built strong enough for Shaq. Like, it was. You know who else can get out? Jay? Dolph Shays, 38% shooter for his career. Get out of here. I'm out.
But let me ask you this question. Is it better to be a snub on the list or to actually make it?
I was just thinking that because I didn't know. I didn't know who else. Who was on the list? Like, until we were preparing for this podcast, I literally did not look at the full list. Yeah. But I knew that Dwight Howard was not on there.
Right.
And I knew that everyone's been talking about Dwight Howard ever since.
And I get it. Dwight's a clown, but Dwight was fucking dominant for like 7 years. And then his back went out on him, right? Like, he started having like injury problems. It wasn't because he wasn't good anymore. It's because he just kept getting injured. He couldn't be the player that he was before. And so, all right, he didn't lead someone to a title. You can't tell me he hasn't had a better career than Bill Walton.
You know, he deserves to be on there. Like, he was dominant for a long time.
Yeah, man. If Bill Walton was healthy, there'd be no question about it. But he wasn't. Hello, Grant Hill.
Get Dave Bing out of there, too.
Get Dave Bing out of there, man.
Jay's just going through the list now and just looking at any name that he doesn't like. Anybody that's also a Nick on his way out. Who's, like, that's what he's doing.
But who's coming around saying, man, I wish I had the iPhone 1? Nobody. This old shit out of here. And you know what? And look, we're not going to discount Bill Russell. I'm not going to discount Bill Russell. We'll just treat him like Jim Brown. Jim Brown was all before that Super Bowl shit. We still regard him as a great player, right? And a historic player. We can do that with Bill Russell and still say, like, none of this stuff pre-merger counts.
Whoever decided to do this list was genius, man.
Well, the only thing is the rollout was so dumb.
It was awful.
Why are you just pulling out, like, milk this? Just roll out a couple guys at a time.
It was for conversational pieces, I think. You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
You know what I think it was? I think it was a distraction from this Kyrie and Ben Simmons stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
That's what I think it was.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work at all.
Did not work.
Why? Because we got some Ben Simmons news, everybody. All right. So,
yay.
The latest is Daryl Morey went on, I don't know, the Fanatic in Philly, whatever that, 95.7 or whatever that is, 97.5, I don't know. Whatever the, you know, if you live in Philly, you know where it is. And so, he went on a major radio station there and talked about all this stuff and talked about getting Ben back in the mix and not, you know, not just giving him away, and they don't want to lessen their chances to be a playoff team and a title team and all this stuff with a trade. And even said at one point, like, look, this might go on for 4 more years, which I thought was hilarious. It's great posturing.
I mean, we're just taking this one step at a time, day by day. Obviously, that doesn't look optimistic right now. I'm not here to spin your audience. It's a little like Good Will Hunting. Every day, you know, we expect him to come in and
the sky's falling on your head. The waves are crashing over your little boat. The oars are about to snap. You're just pissing your pants. You're crying for the harbor. So maybe you do what you got to do to get out.
Move towards being able to help us on the floor, because we know. We know we're a better team with Ben. We know that the best plan for the team. People should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time, because our only path, my only job, is to help us give the best chance to win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it. We may be going through that for a very long time.
Do you expect that the league will come into this situation?
And no, I do not expect the league to come into this situation. This is a, you know, team. 70s, you know,
I think this has been mismanaged on a lot of sides. You know, Ben Simmons came and talked to the team reportedly, talked to Embiid and his teammates and Doc about accountability and taking responsibility for everyone's part in this, to which I thought, like, yo, if I'm Tyrese Maxey, I'd be like, what responsibility do I have to take here? Why do I have to take accountability and responsibility? I didn't do shit. Like, I'm trying to play. That's it. But everyone's got to take responsibility. And then he said he's not mentally ready to play, which then gets into this whole discussion about mental health. And so, like, I want to be careful here, because I'm not accusing anything, but I do think, like, I do think mental health can be easily used as a shield here, right? And I think there's a difference between, like, adversity that's really hard to deal with and mental health. And so I don't know where Ben Simmons lies on that, right? I don't know where he falls on that, but it is something that I've talked about with people before, of like, this is a concern. Like, once DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love come out and speak, like, really well and really thoughtfully and really, you know, candidly about their struggles with this stuff, it does give some people the opportunity to be like, okay, well, I know I can use that if I go through tough times. And I'm not, and again, I'm not saying Ben Simmons does that, but I do think there's a huge distinction between, is this really hard to go through, or am I mentally unwell? Right. And because also, I don't know, like, there's like Jordan, Kobe, Jimmy Butler. Those are the three people I can think of that would be like, yo, I fucking love this situation. Let me go into it. Let me go do that home game against Brooklyn
Jimmy
Friday
lived
night.
For and, it, man. Yeah, oh, I don't God, think Jimmy's yeah. ever been happier than when he had to force his way out of Minnesota.
Exactly, man. He got booed that first home game when he did all that stuff in Minnesota. He got booed and cheered in the same night because he dragged that sorry ass team to a victory that night. The night he was getting booed by the home crowd. Like, he lives for that stuff. So when Ben Simmons is not mentally ready to do all this, like, I don't blame him. That's a tough city to do that in. But I also think it's less about him saying mentally not ready, and more about people then just jumping in the conversation, like, well, mental health, we got to be careful about this, careful about that. And I just think there's a gap between what he said and now what the narrative becomes.
It's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those things too. Like, if you're Ben Simmons and you're saying that, and just for whatever reason it comes out, you're literally using that as a shield, you've just made things 100 times worse for you.
Well, but right? Here's the quick thing, Mo. Like, I don't know that I'm necessarily saying he's using it as a shield. I'm saying, like, we then put that shield in front of him because he says he's not mentally ready. Not being mentally ready and mental health are two very different things. And the narrative immediately jumped to that, to where people are now saying, well, you can't question it because of mental health. And it's like, that's not what he said.
Yeah, he's just saying that he's not mentally ready because he's still in his feelings.
Yeah, too. Right. That's a totally different thing.
And that he feels betrayed.
Yeah.
And all these other things. But at the end of the day, he has to – this is a person who has never dealt with accountability. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's a track record from LSU. I don't know about how I was at Montverde, but at the end of the day, this person now is trying to think that he's outsmarting the NBA to avoid losing checks, game checks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it boils down to. The same person who tried to take a COVID test to avoid giving up $300,000 for a preseason game. And that's all it's boiling down to at this point. Like, he figured his agent, Rich Paul, would have it under control.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way. Now he's trying to find other solutions of getting kicked out of practice and not trying to be around guys. And that didn't work. So initially, he's been getting fined since this conversation started. And yeah. You have to look at it like, okay, dude, this is not working. You have to play. You have to play. You know what I'm saying? And I think the misunderstanding, like you made a very good point that he's not mentally ready to approach the season, whether that's just focus, whether that's being around guys. But it wasn't like, oh, I'm having mental health.
I'm depressed or anything like that. It wasn't that.
And he never said that. So I think that that's a very slippery slope of what, you know, communities need to kind of be aware of to, instead of like, you know, like listening to this and saying, oh, you guys just don't understand. No, we totally understand. But that's not the language
right.
that was used. The language that was used is that basically I'm not mentally prepared to be mature, to be, you know what I mean? Everybody's
to be
kind
what
of,
I need to be and deal with the reaction and the fans.
Doc
and
Rivers
all this
has owned up to what he's had to say. Joel Embiid has expressed himself. And now it boils down to Ben Simmons. Are you going to play for this team? Or are you just going to deal with the consequences of giving up this amount of money? Because Daryl Morey already came out and said that he's not going to move you.
Yeah, it's I feel like all sides involved thought it would be a quick breakup, right? Like when Doc and Joel, after the series, said what they said, they were thinking, okay, we could just trade Ben Simmons this summer. It'll be easy. When Daryl Morey was looking ahead, he was like, okay, This isn't a huge, huge deal yet because we're going to be able to trade Ben Simmons for somebody very good and we're going to be able to get back to the season with a contending roster. When Ben Simmons was looking at it, he's like, okay, I can force my way out of here. I don't have to show up. I don't have to go deal with this, go deal with the people who said shitty things about me, go deal with the city that doesn't like me because I haven't lived up to the moment in huge moments. He thought he wasn't going to have to deal with it. And now everybody's looking at it like, okay, there are no big offers for Ben Simmons. And Daryl Morey came out and said that. He said, if I yeah. traded him right now, I'd have to trade him for role players. And I'm not going to do that. And that's the reality of the situation is that now these guys are looking around like, okay, we have to deal with each other. Like we have to figure out how to deal with this situation in a way that we didn't expect to because we just thought it was going to be simple. And it's not simple at all.
I would just push a little bit. I think Morey realized very quickly in the offseason, this is going to be a lot harder and a lot longer than anybody else. Once he started to see the offers that he was getting or getting rebuffed when he was making offers, I think he realized pretty quickly, like, this is going
to
be a minute.
I mean, he was waiting for Dame to, like, want to get out.
Yeah,
right?
and that's the thing. So I don't know, and who knows how that whole situation plays out, but I don't think of all the GMs you could have done this to, I think Morey was the wrong guy to try all of this stuff with holding out everything 100%. That they're doing yeah. just because it's like, he's like, yeah, he's not the type of guy that's just going to be like, okay, fine, I'll just get rid of the problem. And also, he's in the front office. He doesn't have to be at practice every day.
Exactly. Yeah, he's upstairs. Man. That's been the big criticism of Morey, right? Is he's not good with the people aspect of this right. job, right? Like it's numbers and spreadsheets and, you know, assets and all this stuff. And he's really good at his job. But the criticism I've heard around the league is he's not good at the people part of this. And this is a situation where now we're at the people part of this. And it's like, yo. Someone's got to do something. I mean, Joel Embiid came out and like told the crowd, like, please accept him. You know, like,
yeah, yes. And I'm sure that won the crowd over.
Sure,
who was
wearing
t-shirts with Ben Simmons' face on it and missing.
The
and
funniest
all of these
part
things
about
like
that was that he just like slid it into the end of his speech.
Yeah, he just
it
like just real.
It
quick
wasn't like a big part of it. He's like, and better, brother. Like just kind of mumbled it and then went back.
He knew if he started with it, he would have gotten booed.
Do you think Doc was like, hey man, just give a little thing about Ben at the end? You know,
just try to find the time.
He's like, I got you. Don't worry about it.
You know, a lot has happened the last few months, and I urge you guys to continue to support us and our teammate Ben, because he's still our brother. Let's go.
Once again, Joel Embiid.
yeah, man, he's gonna have to. I gotta imagine Rich Paul is super frustrated because it seems like Rich is so good at his job, and the way that it's played out on Ben Simmons' part of it, I feel like that can't necessarily be the instruction of Rich and Rich's understanding of the situation. Like the whole idea where the report that Ben Simmons thought he was going to get the fine money back once he got traded, there's no way Rich Paul doesn't know that rule.
You have to know that.
He's too good at his job to not know that rule. So what I think that like something got twisted in Ben Simmons' head, or one of his friends like, well, you know, you'll get that fine money back when you get traded. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll sit out. That's what I assume happened rather than Rich not knowing that rule.
But I always thought the holdout was a flawed idea.
Oh, for
just
sure.
Like it worked for Clutch in the past with Tristan Thompson and with J.R. Smith, but they
that
were free agents.
Yeah, that was to get money. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a totally different scenario. So it was like, I think that was the one mistake that maybe Rich Paul made. But after that, like, I don't know.
But also,
what else. I mean,
I don't know that it's a mistake he made. I think Ben Simmons just decided, I'm not going. You know, like, Rich Paul can't make him go.
That's true.
Yeah, it's beyond him now at this point. I think he tried.
That's a different story.
I think he tried to go Rich's route. And once, like, again, when he was in LA, I think he was advised to stay and he figured that they would fold. And obviously the Sixers didn't want to, you know, Ben. And when that didn't happen, Ben probably was watching one of these shows and they mentioned that, you know, how much money he was going to lose. And he got on the first thing smoking back to Philly to try to. No, I'm really being serious. Like, he's probably just sitting there, you know, drinking some orange juice and was like, I'm going to lose how much?
Yeah.
I'm flew out what? There and tried to solve it because Rich Paul didn't even know that he was going to show up to try to take this test and avoid being fined.
Nobody knew. So then
he gets there. They don't let him in. All this other situation. He has to retest. He finally gets cleared. He comes to practice and he's supposed to work out. He doesn't work out. Then he finally joins the team. And then he's like, you know, getting to a, you know, a spat match with the players and the coaches. And then this is an ongoing thing. And they're continue to fine him because you have to do all these things. You can't come. Like, he shows up, he does a he comes to get treatment but doesn't work out. You have scheduled workouts that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen, and now you're in a situation where you're like, okay, well, I can't win this situation. They're still finding me while I'm here. How do I win in this? And then now he's in the point of like, well, I'm not mentally ready. And when you go to that point, obviously, soon as the word mentally, the same thing as domestic. It could be something else in front of domestic. But if you read those two words, mm-hmm. they're associated with, you know, communities that are really going to either take this situation seriously and try to understand what's really going on. And with mentally, he not saying like, oh, my mental health. He's saying, bro, I'm mentally not prepared. That's like me. I'm not mentally prepared for Monday for work. So you get what I'm saying? But that's the difference. And I think that we're letting him off the hook so easy because he just never has been. He's never not been getting away with what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? Like LSU, he left the team because in NIT, he's like, oh, I ain't got to go to class no more. He didn't even try to finish the semester, which
didn't
is fair.
Didn't finish the season.
So that's the red flag of that situation. So like when a rumor comes out and says, oh, fake COVID or whatever.
People are going to believe
it. It makes you think.
Yeah.
It makes you think about some stuff when it's like, okay, if your character was a little bit better, we probably would be looking at, we would feel better questioning it. But what, from what your track record has shown, I'm believing some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we get out of here, let's get into some observations that we've had from the first week. I'll start out because I don't think we've talked about him enough on this podcast in the last couple of weeks. And I know that we even talked about this when we finished recording last week. You know, these Memphis Grizzlies, all in. I'm all in. I saw them in person last night, watched them play against the Clippers. They were fun. They're talking shit. They're super, you know, athletic and very, like, just good defensively and for such a young team. And it's nothing new. They've been this way for the last 2 years, but I am all in on this Memphis Grizzlies team. I just, like, they're like a top five team for me to watch this season, easily.
I mean, Ja Morant himself is just fun. You know, everything to do, every time he gets in the lane, the acrobatic finishes, everything he does. You know, this is – good jump from Jaren Jackson Jr. Yeah. And this is a team that could possibly be in the top six in the West.
By the way, there was a moment in the game, I think it was in the second half against the Clippers, where Isaiah Hartenstein, who apparently is on the Clippers, dove for a loose ball that Jaren Jackson had, was securing, and he fell on top of him. And, like, his elbow hit, or his arm hit Jaren in the face, right? So they're going to go review it. And so there's a little bit of talking before they go to review it, like, you know, some of the Grizzlies players not liking that he just flopped on top of off of Jaren. And so there's a point where, like, Isaiah Hardenstein's, like, kind of talking, not recklessly, but he's like, he's getting into it. Like, he's puffing his chest out, and Steven Adams walks over from the bench. said a couple words, and all of a sudden Isaiah Hardenstein walking back towards the Clippers bench as they go to review. Like, it was so fucking funny to see that play out, where just this Adams just starts coming from the bench area, and he didn't step on the court. He's just walking down that line, that sideline. And then all of a sudden it was like, all right, well, let's see what this review has to say about this. And just walked away. It was great. Yeah,
you don't mess with Steven Adams.
Don't mess with Adams, yeah. Please.
Mo, what do you got? What have you noticed this first week?
My favorite thing so far this first week has been just the flow of games. For the most part, I feel like everything's kind of flowing much quicker. Not as many reviews, not as many let's make sure we get the right call or whatever. Let's just go play. And I've really just sort of just enjoyed the product because of it. We've gotten better basketball. It's made it easier to watch. Everything has flowed so easily every time I've watched a game.
Trey, what about you?
Oh, you know what I'm about to say. Okay. In my best Bill Murray voice.
Go Bulls! Let's go Bulls!
Now,
yes, dog. Right,
the Bulls have looked, well, opening night, they gutted out a win against the Pistons when they didn't have Cade Cunningham. So they came back.
They've got two wins against the Pistons without Cade
Cunningham. They whooped their ass in the second game. So that looks a lot better. But, you know, Trey, it doesn't bother you. They haven't played anybody yet.
No.
Okay.
No. The reason why it's just a different look. I'm not saying that they're going to win it all. I'm not saying that, but the direction, I think the GM did a great job of assembling this team together, and they look like they're enjoying having fun. Yes, they're going to lose some games. When they lose the first game, we can get back to normal and kind of be like, all right, let's settle down. But I do think that they're going to make the playoffs, and I think exactly what I said this summer, it's going to come to light. You know what I mean?
They're solid. Hell, man. They're so fun.
They're solid, dog. Like, I honestly owe Alex Caruso an apology.
I still think about last time I was on the pod when you called Alex Caruso the bald Jesus. So I still think about that from time to time.
He is bald Jesus. Oh, yeah.
The Lakers should have kept bald Jesus. Man.
I mean, he's not my personal bald Jesus, but I understand the trolling now.
Then they'd have three good players.
Caruso! Welcome to the Caruso Show. Woo! Nice crossover. Caruso's there. Y'all keep sleeping on my game. Keep sleeping on me.
Turn up the AC.
Wow. They're giving him MVP. Wow. They're giving him MVP chance in the United Center. I haven't heard that since Derrick Rose. So I understand it's a troll era. And I like that he's playing well. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I think it's hilarious.
He's averaging 8 points a game.
I'm actually with you on the Bulls. I was the biggest Bulls hater before the season, but seeing it in action a little bit and understanding that when they have Lonzo out there and when they have Caruso out there, they're just athletic. They've got a lot of athletic dudes, a lot of longer guards, a lot of size on the perimeter, and I thought that there's no way they'd be able to defend with LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic.
And then they played.
But when you see it in action, they've got a lot of athletes, man. And I'm not totally sold yet because they haven't beaten anyone. They've beaten the Pistons twice without Cade and the Pelicans without Zion. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not ready to call them the greatest defensive team of all time yet. But you can see it a little bit. You can see that I was probably at least a little wrong. And they'll be better defensively than my dumbass thought.
Now this makes me completely buy into the Bulls. Do you know what it takes to get Jay to admit that he was even a little wrong?
That's a lot.
I mean, God! Now the Bulls must be legit. I'm all in now. All right, I was having fun with them before, but now I'm all in because Jay has admitted that he might have been a little wrong. Those were the exact words. I might have been a little wrong on the Bulls.
To be fair, how often am I wrong?
Often.
Are you
often? Talking about?
Are you serious?
I was right on the Bucks all the way through last season. Not really the year before.
Not really the year before.
You're right. You were wrong with the diss track. What the hell?
You know what? I'm not the finest lyricist, rapper, whatever you want to say. That's just not. No,
we
could
throw Jade. We could throw Jade under the bus on that. He did you wrong with the production.
I need that nail in the coffin. That Eminem diss track. Give me that music. I need it. This is the end for Zach.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's over for him. I've been waiting for this day for a long, long time.
It's also the longest thing you've ever heard.
This motherfucker, man, just won't shut up, will you? Talking about heat culture, bitch sweep culture. I'm promoting you right now. Yo, let's put the nail in this coffin. I don't wanna be like this. I don't really wanna hurt no feelings. But I'm only being real when I say nobody wanna hear he talk from Zach. And he makes less sense than Shaq. Now he knows damn well he culture's whack. So put the mic down and walk away. You can still have a little bit of dignity. I would never claim to be no Pariah Lee, no 83-year-old fake Pacino.
How long is this shit?
Can he win post LeBron with just Jimmy without even a top tier star? Dragic dragged down by injury. Please, Zach, see you pick Miami and your asses will both be history. But then again, you'd finally get your wish, because you'll be all over the street like Gabe Vincent. What? Fucking punk Spoelstra, bud, fucked you up. Gabe Crystal one-on-one, see how bad he fucked you up. Try to hype B. Elita and they cut you up. And you put Jay King on the throne, that's how much you suck picking first round series. All right, cut the music. Cut the music.
Jay, well, I am curious about the Celtics so far. It doesn't look great.
The game against the Raptors was as bad as they've looked in a while, and they looked pretty bad at times last season.
Like them losing the Knicks, not a big deal. Like that was a fun game, right? Jaylen was phenomenal. Tatum was terrible in that game, but like overall, like that was a fun game. The game against the Raptors, and we're recording this before the game against Houston on Sunday, so who knows what happened. Here, I'll cover us. Wow, they came back and finally got their first winner. Oh my God, the sky's falling. There, we're good. but yeah, that game against the Raptors, man, that's bad.
Yeah, they just kind of fell apart. And I've thought that they would take some time to develop because, you know, Jaylen Brown and Al Horford missed most of preseason with COVID. And Marcus Smart got suspended in preseason. They're adapting to a new coach. And it's going to be different to play with Schroeder than it was with any of the guys they brought off their bench last year. So there are some things that they're going to have to work through. And I've thought that they might start slow. I did not think that it would get as bad as it did against the Raptors so quickly. And the biggest fear with them, I think, is that they just don't have enough shooting outside of Tatum and Brown. And I think that's been pretty obvious that they're going to need to find a way to keep enough shooting on the court, because the Raptors are just like swarming Tatum and Brown and not even worried about basically anyone else on the roster from behind the arc. So they're going to have to find a way to get some shooting on the court to make things a little easier for those guys. And they can be small at times. Like they played a lineup. Ime Udoka played a lineup with Peyton Pritchard, Dennis Schroeder, Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, and Josh Richardson.
Good Lord.
Like, what is that lineup going to do? It's not going to defend. It's not going to score. It's not going to, it doesn't have shooters. Like, what is that lineup?
That's
a terrible lineup.
And that was in game two. Like, why? Why?
By the way, I think the Thunder play today, right? On Sunday, but before we record this. So there's a chance that this number gets updated, but the Thunder, the first two games, both 30-point losses. The record, and this is all in the power rankings, which you should check on The Athletic today, Monday. The record for most 30-point losses in a season is the 91 Denver Nuggets. They had 10 of them. Last year, the Thunder had 9 in a 72-game season. They are going to shatter this record. They are not trying to win. They are not trying to be competitive. They have put together a garbage roster of, granted, developing players, but in terms of winning now, it is horrible around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I am guaranteeing they shattered this record of most 30-point losses in a season. Shatter. Like, it might be 20 for
the Zach Harper guarantee.
The Zach Harper guarantee almost never fails. Sometimes it does spectacularly so, but I'm telling you, they're already a fifth of the way to the record. Two games in.
If it doesn't happen this time, it'll happen somewhere down the road.
It's going to happen this time. I guarantee it. This is worse. This is more egregious than the Sam Hinkie trust the process Sixers. This whole tank.
Wow.
It's insane. And I feel bad for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I guess that's why you get $170 million. That way you can at least have a nice bank account while you're dealing with all this losing.
It was a long way.
Their second leading scorer right now, Mike Muscala.
Who Jalen Green almost ended his career the other night. He got smacked in the face by the moose, but he went moose hunting, and I thought he was going to evaporate him with that dunk. That would have been fun. Poor moose. Why did he resign in OKC? He couldn't get a job anywhere else. He actively re-signed there. Why? Someone help him out. All right. That's going to do it for the Athletic NBA Show podcast, Basket Buds Edition. Make sure you're checking out all the other podcasts on the network. Follow on Apple Podcasts or subscribe on Spotify or wherever you listen to them. Make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're leaving reviews if that feature is available on your preferred platform. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. It is the best content out there, the best coverage of sports, the best coverage of the NBA that you're going to find. Make sure you're checking out the rest of the podcast on this channel with Tampering on Tuesday, Hoops Adjacent on Wednesday, Point of Contention on Thursday, Nerdishy Wrote on Friday, and of course, The Daily Ding, which has been added to your podcast feed for The Athletic NBA Show podcast. For Trevon Edwards, for Jay King, for Mo Dakhil, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
And I urge you guys to continue to support us and our teammate back, because he's still our brother. Let's go.
Once again, Joel Embiid.